kasha, bro.
Yun. Wow.
Oh,
di ba?
This is it.
Ibang level na.
Umangat na.
Afam
na tayo. Afam. Oh. Dito ko na ilalunch yung Afam radio ko.
Pwede.
Afam radio.
Hindi
natin mga potential, mga foreigners magagalang magaling sa akin. No? Let's do this, bro. Yeah, wow.
Ganda ng studio.
I feel so blessed. I feel so good, bro. I'm so thankful.
We are in Podcast Network Asia, sa studio nila dito sa Ortigas area.
Ortigas, ang ganda, 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 guys. So, syempre, nung una, medyo elitista ako na din. Dapat dun tayo sa BGC. Pero may plano naman tayo. Just a forward announcement. We also have planned to launch a separate podcast series and all. But we'll give more details later on. But now, super happy kami na finally. We feel like real podcasters.
Podcasters na talaga, oh. We spent the first year ng ating podcast more than 50 episodes puro Zoom, almost puro Zoom lahat, diba? So ngayon ito actual studio na talaga.
Of course, I mean, di rin natin maiwasan kasi pandemic time na. And there's still pandemic, of course. We're trying to be as careful as possible about the situation, but yeah, almost third year na tayo, no? We're heading into the third year of our podcast, so a big part of our opening year too was really the elections, no? And now we're more or less in the first anniversary of 2020.
Wow, 1 year na pala.
Bro, yeah. Kamusta? What were you doing nung last elections? Nasaan ka nung huling araw? Nung
May 9 mismo?
No, not May 9, but the final rally.
Ah, saan kami nun?
Manila ka, no?
Hindi, umiikot pa kami nun. We had a last run sa Cebu. Tapos meeting the advances sa Manila. So, umiikot pa kami nun. Galing pa ako ng Tacloban, tapos umiikot pa kami ng Iloilo and Bicol. So, we were really busy nun nung time na yon. Tapos nung sa election day, parang isang snap, tapos na kaagad.
Sa inyo yung ano, may sila mo kauso, nag-perform ba yan sa Manila, yung meeting the advance
Hindi sa meeting the advance I think it was a different event. Pero sa Manila din. Yeah. Oh.
Siyempre, alam din ng mga kasama natin ng meeting at the advance, I attended not one, but two meeting the
advance. I didn't know that, oh.
Yeah, so yung isa pinuntahan ko yung sa Ayala, of course, ito yung sa camp nila Lenny. Naka-purple ako, thinking that's kind of in between pink and red. Kasi next na pinuntahan ko yung meeting the advance naman nila BBM and Unity. And I wrote about it, totally two different worlds, no? The demographics, the mood, the entertainment value, etc. Very, very different. Hindi lang yung locations and all. So, wow, grabe, dami nangyari. Kamusta naman yung election day mismo? How did you handle the election day last year?
I voted sa Bulacan in the morning. Bulacan. Tapos diretso ako sa campaign HQ. Tapos that is where we watch yung pagpasok sa TV. Yung mga election returns na ang bilis. Nakagulat kasi before usually ang tagal eh. You were expecting parang all nighter, abutin. Doon hindi, alas 7, alas 8.
Kaya
may mga issues.
Anyway, I discussed that separately. We can discuss that probably in a different podcast with a tech expert, no? Ayaw natin maging marites lang dito, no? We can talk about the technicalities of talaga bang sensible, no? Within an hour, no? We can see millions, tens of millions of votes coming in. In my case naman, I did the usual, you know, going around the different networks. I think TV5, that's when the numbers came in. And I think I was in CNN Philippines. Pagpasok ko sa studio si Vic Rodriguez. Those were the days. Very different. No?
Very
so different. To Rodriguez, and then, you know, the president, you know, the newly elected president, was you could see now Marcos Jr. was still absorbing it. And then I think after that, si Jingo Estrada in interview na nakapasok, no? I think 12 siya, no? Na was really confident about it. And then after that, doon naman ako sa GMA Network until 2, 3 a.m. And then ito yung time na my semi-concession speech na from Lenny. So that was emotionally charged moments. So until 4 a.m. actually. That, I mean, 24 hours straight ako nagtrabaho ng gabi. So I'm glad I still can remember. It was so stressful and difficult, but I still can remember it. Those were the days. But of course, the real emotions would still come after, you know, medyo, ano na, the next day na. No?
Oh, dun na, everything sinks into you na kung ano yung, na, uy, we will have another Marcos president. iba yung tama, no. Nung una talaga, merong worries ako eh. I was talking dun sa mga nag-i-interview din sa akin at that time, na parang, syempre may worry na baka gawin yung ginawa nung tatay, baka mag-martial law uli, or baka, di ba, yung susunod na elections, we weren't sure. So may mga ganong agam-agam nung simula. Pero habang tumatagal, mas ano naman, kumaga, medyo kita yung difference mula nung previous administration eh. So medyo mas kalmado, mas relaxed. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think this is something that a lot of people would say, even those who are like, you know, diehard ayaw kay Marcos, I mean, they would have to admit that at least it's an improvement on the I'm gonna get in trouble again for saying these things, but I mean, I would say on foreign policy, I'm quite happy.
Doon ako malaking nagulat din talaga. I didn't expect him to go that far pagdating sa, and yung pinangako niyang unity, I wasn't expecting him to really push through with that. Pero tignan mo naman so far, di ba?
Speaking of which, of course, it legally matters na 1 year removed na tayo sa election day, because that also means yung mga natalo sa elections last year, maybe even Lenny, right, can now be appointed to the cabinet, no, presidential cabinet. At ito yung realignment na pinag-usapan natin. So maraming agam-agam na the president will go literally for unity in a kind of a coalition, team of rivals government. Ano mga marites dyan? Ano mga semi-credible marites dyan na pwede natin pag-usapan?
Napag-usapan natin nung last time, di ba? Of course, yung sa DOH, di ba? Yung si Padilla. Kasi Mengita, yun yung right, ano. Right. Of course, ako, kami, we're for Dr. Willie Ong, exactly, yung gusto namin. Kanina, parang nababasa ko si former Senator Ping Lacson. So parang sa DOTR daw.
DOTR, yeah, kasi D&D talaga si Kibo daw eh. So pag ganon, who else you heard of? Si Isko, narinig ko.
Si Isko.
Pasok dun kay Erwin Tulfo, yung position ni Erwin Tulfo.
Sa DSWD.
DSWD.
Yung nga.
Hindi DLG.
Definitely. Kaso, yun nga, nag-resign pa ng Congress si Gatchalian, tapos alisin din. So, we don't know. Yun, either yun or MMDA. Yung narinig ko kay Isko.
So parang that's the closest he'll be to a governor of Manila, right? Kasi parang in a way, that was also the idea of if he stayed as a mayor of Manila, he could have been the kuya, so kind of like a primus inter pares, no? Sa mga Manila mayors.
Manila mayors. So ngayon, si Isko, he's on vacation ngayon. So hindi ko, parang nasa abroad siya, hindi ko alam kung nagbabakasyon ba, kasi pagkatapos ng bakasyon, ano na, balik trabaho na, so hindi ko din masabi. So,
huling El-Bimbo, di ba?
Oo.
Yeah, I mean, probably will, as I said, the Isko story is something that has to be properly dissected. I know many people just want to forget about what happened, but considering where Isko was 6 months removed from the beginning of the elections to where he ended up, that's something worth analyzing. As I said, it's not about Isko, it's about what Isko represents. No? And for me, he's kind of close to kind of a Jokowi of the Philippines, potentially. No? If sana, no, he got certain things right. But anyway.
Pero pagdating kay Isko, yung mga iba kasi, who watches my vlogs. Ako, I still consider myself pinaka-damain Isconian vlogger pa rin eh. Yung pa rin ako eh. Parang nagpapahinga lang kami ngayon.
Kasi maraming galit sa akin kasi similar tayo, no? Similar tayo ng podcast. Sorry, na-distract ako. Our guest for the next episode
is here.
So this is just the opening, by the way, guys. So anyways, so officially we have opened up this podcast in studio edition. We're still gonna do the Zoom versions among others, but this is really the first time that we're hoping to go fully professional style. So thank you so much to lahat ng mga supported dito sa Project Pilipinas. Again, you know, I mean, you have your thing, I have my thing, but guys, we want to keep this as post-partisan as possible. That's why all the color gradations you can see dun sa aming ano, diba, thumbnail, diba? There's pink, there's purple, there's red almost, there's blue.
Ang gusto ko din itanong sa'yo, Richard, diba, yung sila Isko, sila William, how about from the liberal side? ano na ang narinig mo? Meron ba talagang from the yellow side who is going to join the Marcos cabinet?
I'm thinking if Jokno really wants to move to Banco Central, I think Cesar Purisima could be an option for the finance secretary. So, yun yung medyo tinitignan ko ngayon. DTI secretary, looks like the president is not super happy with the situation right now, although all respect, I think Fred Pascual is a great guy. So, Maros, if it's gonna come in, it's probably...
Maka DTI, DTI, babalik, oh.
So there's an openness by, because Twitter is very, let's be honest, liberal, progressive, right? So I suspect that's the sampling bias there. So it looks like there's a lot of opening or openness to the idea of that. Although some would say maybe kay Kiko Pangilinan more sensitive kaysa kay Mara Rojas. Kasi Mara Rojas medyo out of the loop.
Matagal na eh.
So the sensitivity level is lower. But and didn't he work with Arroyo as DTI secretary? Well, exactly, right? So the idea that of him crossing over or working with is kind of normal compared to siguro Kiko Pangilinan, who's more like Lenny, or more like, he's almost pink, right? He's not just yellow, habang yellow talaga si Maros or what it is. But I'm also carefully watching Gibo for DND, because the DND position is very, very important. Very important in DND position. And again, the Department of Agriculture, as I said, it's interesting that some people are even open to Kiko Pangilinan joining it, because we need a real Department of Agriculture guy, and Kiko Pangilinan yung magsasaka.
Yung passion niya talaga. Ito tanong ko, do you think if it will be smart for the Marcos administration to bring in itong mga Liberal Party members sa cabinet niya? If you are advising, for example, the president.
Of course, it's kind of a balance, right? So if he has enough number of Duterte-era people there, which is the National Security Advisor right now, like a lot of generals, including the current DND, and then a lot of Arroyo people, so Gibo could be one of them, right? If it's like a not proportionate but more or less balanced representation of each major camp in politics, and Sara is getting a lot of positions, Department of Education, task force,
NTFL
exactly. So if he can get the right mix, I think he can do it well. And then a number of people are kind of in the middle or non-partisan and all. So I think Marcos still has enough of political capital to do that. But the question is, does he have the backbone to stand the backlash that will inevitably come, right, from multiple sides, no? Kasi the more you go for unity, the more na may babanggain ka na hindi natawa kasi gusto nila yung kampo nilang pinaka well represented, di ba? So if the president can stand his ground and really go for an optimally coalition government team of rivals type, he might go down as a very effective president down the road, because, you know, the presidency is not about how smart the president himself is, but it's about the whole cabinet. The cabinet as a whole will carry the government and effectiveness of government response to many issues. So, and then for me, yun yung parating kulang sa Pilipinas eh. Kulang talaga tayo sa coalition building, coalition government. It's always us versus them, or me and you versus them, yung mga ganon, or us versus them. So I think that's the problem. And if Marcos Jr. can put things together, then why not? I mean, as I said, even if you're critical of the Marcos legacy, the Marcos Sr. legacy, then you could say, well, if a Marcos broke it, let another Marcos fix it, right? Then,
maybe, lagot ka na naman. Naisip ko din eh, for example, a Pangilinan sa DA, for the people on the opposition side, parang wala kayong karapatan na magreklamo about sa agriculture kasi tao nyo yung nilagay namin dyan. So that will be another, ano, diba?
I'm sure there'll be, again, that argument na don't sisi Sara kasalanan ng mga undersecretary. I'm sure partisanship will always be there. But, yun nga, I mean, there are even discussion, why not Lenny as DSWD? Yung mga ganun crazy level of discussion. But one of the positive commenters I see is always this idea that, well, at least pagdating kay, you know, Lenny, she served in the cabinet of Duterte. What's crazy about Mar Rojas or Kiko Pangilinan or even Lenny serving in a Marcos Jr. cabinet when Marcos Jr. is far less authoritarian populist than Duterte? You get what I'm saying? Because if you want to play that card of, oh, we don't touch an administration like that, but Lenny work in the administration of Duterte. siya'y kinig out.
Pero ang sa akin naman, I said this on my vlog eh, si Mar and Kiko, gets ko yun, okay yun. Pero kung kay Lenny, won't that damage her brand? Kasi mabango pa si Lenny, mainit pa si her following is still solid ngayon, di ba?
Might lead her to... I even doubt Kiko Pangilan will join. And I also doubt that Maros will join. My point is, the very fact that we're talking about this, and the very fact that there's openness to this, I mean, I could see it in the public reaction, in some unscientific semi-polls I'm putting out there, and just anecdotal evidence, if you put all of those together, I didn't see a kind of a wholesale rejection of that. That just shows you that everyone is sensing an opportunity under Marcos Jr. administration to push for some reform and change in the direction they want. The Sara people have their own ideas, the Arroyo people have their own ideas, Madam Arroyo, I mean, she, Tita Arroyo, right? Diba, tingnan mo yung autobiography niya, Deus Ex Machina, diba? It's essentially about, I think this is redemption also for her, you know, she feels history was unfair to her, etc. We can debate about her legacy. So I think each of these camps feel there's a room for them to push for their advocacies. And Marcos Jr. seems to be quite an open guy when it comes to working with different people. Because temperamentally, he's a very chubby type shit. Mm. I mean, everyone who has met Marcos Jr. would tell you, there's nothing, you know, coops about him. There's nothing alien. He's very nice and all. I'm not talking about the political legacy of the family. That's a totally different issue. I'm just saying the rapport that he projects makes it easier for different camps to work with him. Unlike any other president we have had in recent memory, I think Ramos is the only one I can think of who was in a position to create a team of rivals, because Ramos had many cabinet members, including my good fellow colleague in New York, Philippine Daily Inquirer, Chelito Abito. There may be one who didn't vote for him or even spoke against him in the 1992 election, and yet he appointed them based on merit. And guess what? That's exactly what Marcos Jr. said. Marami natalo sa election, which is political, pero pagdating sa kakayanan, kompetensya, actually may merit sila. So what should stop them from being appointed to my cabinet?
We'll see in the next few weeks.
I know. And of course, we're still dealing with the fallout of Vic Rodriguez, the whole drama of that, right? So I think the president, 6 months removed from the removal of Vic Rodriguez and a whole bunch of other people associated with him, I think he would feel more confident about starting, having a fresh start. And I don't see any backlash from the Duterte. Sara Duterte side, the Duterte that really matters now is Sara Duterte, no offense to the former president. And then as far as the Arroyo people are concerned, I think they're flexible. Work with Arroyo side, you know. So let's see. I mean, the Philippines has huge needs. We have huge challenges. Maybe some sort of unity could work. You know, whether it's gonna happen, I have my doubts about it. But it's something we should try to at least analyze and consider seriously.
Maganda din yung sinabi mo. Maybe we can move beyond the politics na it's us versus them,
yeah, diba?
You and me against them, and so parang we could push agendas or push, right, diba, in certain areas
and
where we...
My understanding is the First Lady is a very much big force behind this. My understanding is she is the one who wants Marcos Jr. to be a reformer, to be a modernizer. I know, well, she has a lot of critics, including you know who, right?
Hello, si Mamshi.
No, but in fairness, the understanding is she's the one who's pushing for open. And by the way, she's Arneta, Maros is Arneta. You know, like, I think she's kind of the reformer, modernizing force there or voice there. And Marcos Jr. seems to be a very reasonable guy. He's getting very good advice, and he's implementing that on foreign policy. Why can't he do it in domestic politics? And after all, he cannot be the president and Department of Agriculture secretary at the same time. The Department of Agriculture is a whole problem in its own. It's a whole world, right? A whole universe. So you really need someone at the top talaga dyan. And Department of Health, we need really a full-fledged secretary there, whether it's Padilla, sino ba talaga? Is it going to be Charlie or is it going to be Ibo? No, we have to think about it. I mean, not Carlito Galvez. I mean, it's Charlie, right? So, anyway,
okay.
Thank you so much, bro. That was fantastic.
Wow.
So, this is it. Officially, first episode of
Project Pilipinas.
In studio, AFAM edition. Ito na yung opening namin for AFAM edition. Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. Congratulations.
Congratulations sa atin, no?
This is it.
Level up.
Alright, guys. So, for next episode, we're going to have a special guest and Grammy Award winner, right? I think Emmy too, but Grammy Award winner, among others, we're going to talk to some